Someone who is a true prophet of God is one that never hears wrong from God. Nowadays, we have people who claim to be prophets. They're prophesying, or I call it prophelying. They're prophelying all day, and their prophecies are not coming to pass, but yet we just give them a pass.
You know, Alan, recently it's come to light that there has been a lot of spiritual leadership abuse. A lot of times when a church environment is unhealthy, it's due to the leader not being healthy as well. What are some red flags of unhealthy church leadership and toxic church culture that people should be aware of?
There's a lot. I would say, you know, first of all, the character of the pastor, the character of the shepherd, you know, do they exhibit Christ-like behavior in their interactions with people? You know, I have been, unfortunately, on the side where I've been under, you know, different pastors throughout the years. And when you look at how they talk to people, you know, how they treat people, how they embarrass people in meetings who maybe they did something wrong in a service, maybe they didn't put the slide up fast enough when they were preaching or something, and they get called out and humiliated in front of people, things like that. Those are signs of unhealthy church leadership and control. Other things like you want to look for, you know, signs of control where that leader is trying to control you. They're trying to play God in your life. They're trying to play Holy Spirit in your life. They're telling you where you can and cannot go, where you can and cannot work, who you can and cannot date, you know, and it's all kind of under the guise of, I'm your spiritual leader. You need to submit to me. You know, I'm your covering and things like that, which there's a place for that, but there's a fine line between I'm your covering and I'm controlling you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that, matter of fact, I need to probably do a video on that. But, you know, I just think that those are some signs as well when you have to run every decision that you make past your pastor because you can't choose things for yourself. And I would also say just like unhealthy work environment, unhealthy volunteers, you know, making you feel like you have to sign your life away to work at church and you're there for, you know, ungodly hours, different times. It's not a good work life, you know, type of balance and things like that, you know. And then obviously the final one would just be using the Bible and twisting the Bible to make it say what you want it to say as a leader. Those are some signs, I think, of unhealthy leadership and toxic church culture.
I know you've used this example before, but you know, whenever people are studying about counterfeit bills, they don't actually study the counterfeit. They study the real and how that looks, how it feels, even how it smells. And so if we're studying the real and learning the real word of God, then we're not going to be affected by the stuff that's not real. Alan, how is studying God's word changing you and directing your steps?
I would not be the man I am today without God using the word of God to shape me and guide me. And that's why I think I'm so passionate about helping other people dig into the word of God for themselves. Because, you know, I come from a broken home, you know, where, you know, my parents were divorced, sadly. So I don't have a context for what it means to be a husband. You know, I have a wonderful father, but, you know, unfortunately he wasn't in our home. And so there's times whenever I'm like, okay, how do I father my two kids and things like that? But it all comes down to the word of God. How would Jesus want me to respond in this type of situation? And the more you study the word of God, the more you're accountable to the things that you are learning and internalizing. And you're getting God's perspective in your spirit so that when you have decisions to make, when you have temptations that come up, the first thing that pops into your mind is God's perspective or a scripture from the word of God. And it helps you make better decisions. It helps you become a better man, a better woman, a better father, a better mother, a better wife, a better husband, better Christian, better person. I think that that's how it's affecting me. And because of that, that's why I know for a fact that while I could do a video on random people, celebrities, I know that how you're going to grow spiritually as a Christian is me helping you figure out how to fish, right? You know, I could give you fish, but I want to teach you how to fish for yourself, as the old saying goes. Because if you can do that, you're going to see explosive growth in your life. And then you won't need me to tell you how to discern whether an album by Beyonce is godly or not. You will be able to listen to the lyrics and say, okay, I need to move away from this, or this is okay, or that's okay. And that's my goal, ultimately, in my ministry.
I love how you're able to disagree with people or teach about things, but you're still respectful and loving. I appreciate how you put out a video recently about why you stopped speaking in tongues, and then you've had subsequent videos still on that same topic. I saw one titled "A Charismatic and a Non-Charismatic," yourself, discuss the biblical gift of tongues. I love how respectful you are, and even though you disagree about some things, you're dealing with it with respect. And I think that's a great example of how we can agree to disagree, but biblically. There's some things you see different. There's some things I see different, but we're going to still walk together and call each other brother. I love how you do that. I think that is a great example for a lot of people out there if they would follow that.
Yeah.
You mentioned that your book, Misled, focuses on seven issues that lead people astray from the truth. Can you tell us about some of these?
Yeah, thank you. So I start off, well, first of all, I'm really excited about this book because the way I wrote the book was kind of a mixture of fiction and nonfiction, meaning I introduce a fictional character, whose name is Jaron. And essentially, Jaron is on a journey throughout this book to try to find a healthy Bible-based church. And every chapter, he runs into a church that's teaching things that are in my perspective, incorrect, right? And so, for that reason, I've chosen seven of them that I think are very, very harmful. The first is the idea that, you know, the misuse of tongues. And once again, in the book, I don't necessarily go into whether tongues is for today or not. That's, once again, a secondary issue. But what I do go into is how the gift of tongues is being misused, making people feel like they're not a Christian if they don't speak in tongues, making people feel like, hey, you know, you're a second-class JV Christian if you don't speak in tongues, or, hey, you're going to have more power if you do speak in tongues versus if you don't. And then also the misuse of tongues being spoken in churches without any interpretation being present at all. There's people just speaking in tongues from the pulpit and there's no interpretation. So I talk about some of the dangers there. And then I go into some of the prosperity theology stuff in chapters 2 and 3, where I talk about the idea of the name it and claim it positive confession. This idea that, you know, we are little gods, and because God created the earth using his words, we can create things with our words because we're made in his image. And if he's God, and we must be little gods, and we can speak things into existence and all those things. And that's become very popular over the past 30 years. And so I kind of debunk that. I go into the dangers of prosperity theology, where it talks about, hey, you know, you can, you know, God's will for every Christian is that you're healthy and wealthy and you're rich and you're thriving and you're prosperous and you don't ever have any sort of diseases in your body and things like that. And I talk about the dangers there. I've got a chapter on progressive Christianity, which is huge now. And the idea that as certain moral cultures have progressed in terms of how we view things in our culture as being moral or immoral, that God has progressed in his view of these things like same-sex marriages or the right to life and things like that. And so the progressive Christianity crowd is trying to push this idea that they can be Christian, but they can also choose which parts of the Bible and which parts of Christianity that they agree with. And so I've got a chapter on that. I've got a chapter on, can Christians lose their salvation? I've got a chapter on the misuse of prophecy in our world today and how to spot a true prophet of God and one that's not a true prophet, a false prophet, and how that's dangerous as well. So those are just a few. I think I gave maybe 5 or 6 of them of certain things that I think are really leading many people astray and that we need to, you know, be very careful about.
I'd like to dive a little bit deeper into dealing with false prophecy, because that's a very big issue in our world today. Mm-hmm. There's people that we've called out as a ministry, people that we're connected with that have called others out too. There's some words that are just obviously wrong, and then others that are more subtle. How do you identify the issues with false prophecy in today's world and discern true prophets from false ones?
It is. And, you know, back in the day, in the 80s, 90s, maybe early 2000s, before the internet became what it is today, We knew who the prophets were because they normally called themselves prophet or prophetess, and they would come around to different cities and they would prophesy. But nowadays, with the advent of social media, anybody can be a prophet. Everybody calls themselves a prophet, and they're going to go on Instagram Live and they're going to prophesy, or they're going to speak a prophetic word and things like that. And let me just say that I do believe that God speaks to his people today, but I don't think that he's speaking anything new in addition to what he's already said in the Word of God. That would be progressive revelation, and I don't believe there's any additional revelation. I believe in sola scriptura. I believe that the canon of scripture is closed and there is no need for further new revelation from God. I think he said everything he needed to say in his word. But that being said, I do think that God can give insight to us. I think he can give us wisdom in terms of how to advise people. I believe he can show us how to, apply the word of God to nuanced situations and things of that nature and whatnot. For me, I look at it as, is this prophet delivering a message that is specific or vague? A lot of times people who say they're prophets, they are, it's kind of like, oh, well, there's 30,000 people in a stadium and it's, oh, well, somebody here, is going to get healed of their back pain tonight. When you go home, you're not going to feel back pain. I believe that in my spirit. I feel that in my spirit right now. And it's like, dude, there's 30,000 people here. There's probably someone here who has back pain. There's probably somebody who's going to feel better from their back pain when they go home. Like, that's not a prophecy. That's not a specific prophecy. And that's not how the prophets in the Old Testament worked as well. And also on that, when we look at the role of a prophet in the Old Testament, most of the time, the people did not like what they had to say because they were delivering messages of doom and judgment, and hey, you need to repent because judgment is coming if you don't. We seldom hear that message from a lot of prophets today. It's all about what God is going to do for you positively and how he's going to raise your debt and how he's going to restore this and restore that. And that's a very different picture than what the prophets of old presented. And the last thing I'll say is the Bible is very clear that someone who is a true prophet of God is one that never hears wrong from God. The penalty for speaking on behalf of God in the Old Testament was to be stoned to death if you said you were a prophet and your prophecy didn't come to pass. Nowadays, we have people who claim to be prophets and, they're prophesying, or I call it prophelying, they're prophelying all day about stuff and their prophecies are not coming to pass, but yet we just give them a pass as if it's no problem at all. And then they'll change up and say another prophecy and say another one, and it's just getting out of hand. So
there definitely needs to be accountability and boundaries for sure. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about Let's Equip and the ministry that you have that God's called you to online.
Yeah. So the easiest way would be my website, alanparr.com. But in the future, we've got another website. Alan Parr is really more my personal brand. It's, features my speaking and people can book me for speaking at different churches and events and things like that. But our nonprofit organization is called Let's Equip, and it's really all about fulfilling Ephesians 4:12. We exist to equip the body to do the work of the ministry. And so, in order to do that, we basically have a fourfold approach. We have community, courses, curriculum, and coaching. A couple times a year, we have these big 90-day coaching programs where I will walk through whether it's discipleship or whether it's Bible study, and it's a real big thing. And we invite people into our coaching for 90 days with me. We have online courses that people can enroll in to get their biblical literacy up, and they can become better at studying the Word of God for themselves. We've got an online community called the Let's Equip Community, where we have all sorts of things going in there, Bible studies, exclusive Bible studies that we do that we don't do online, that we do only in that community. And then curriculum. We have workbooks. We have different things that we're developing for churches, and that's part of our vision as well. We're all about trying to equip people. People can find out more by going to letsequip.com or, like I said, my website, alanparr.com, will get them there somehow or another as well. Oh, and of course, my YouTube channel too.
Of course, of course. You know, Alan, I know you spend a lot of time in the Word of God. What is it right now that the Lord is speaking to you through His Word that's standing out and you're just really excited about reading?
Yeah, yeah. You know, lately I've been really excited to dig into the Minor Prophets. It's a study that I think a lot of, I think that's probably the part of the Bible that is the least read and the least understood. And so I'm excited to kind of dig in and you know, study some of those books that maybe I haven't studied in a while, like, you know, Hosea and Malachi and, and Habakkuk, Haggai, different books that to me have tremendous practical value if we understand how to interpret them correctly. So that's kind of what I'm excited about. But I also just do a daily audio Bible every day. I study the Word every morning, and I have a read through the Bible reading plan that I've been doing for about 5 years now. And it just makes it so easy for me. I get up, I know what I'm supposed to read. It's already set for me. I don't have to figure it out. And I normally combine that with a morning walk. Mm-hmm. And that's been transformative for me to be able to walk in the morning, get my day started, clear my head, listen to my worship music, listen to my daily audio Bible. And I do that for an hour, almost about five times a week. And when I get back to my desk and my mind is already in a good place, my spirit's in a good place because I've dedicated the first part of my day to God.
That's great advice right there for sure. Dedicating your first part of the day to the Lord. Pastor Alan, would you just pray for the people that have been watching this, that they would really come to an understanding of how important the Word is in their life and how they can be transformed by it?
Absolutely. I'd be glad to. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for our good friends at Charisma. Lord, thank you for them having me here today. And Lord, I just pray that somehow or another, you would stir the hearts of this generation to understand that the Bible is not some old antiquated document that's quote unquote not relevant to our lives, Lord. There's so much relevance to our daily lives and the decisions that we make. But Lord, I pray that every person watching this video would take the personal responsibility to equip themselves, Lord, so that they can rightly divide the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would protect them from any false teaching. I pray that you'd give them discernment to be able to discern truth from error. And Lord, I pray that you would just lead them by your Spirit in everything that they do. I love you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Alan Parr, thank you so much for joining us today on Charisma.
Thank you very much, John. It's my pleasure.